That's right. We're right back here waiting on our call from John Teagan. And I guess I could give you a little background about John Teagan. He was 36, a former Marine sergeant from Colorado who spent several years as a security contractor for Blackwater. He worked for the company in Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Iraq before going to the work for the CIA's Global Response Staff. He says he's quiet and precise. He is a married father of infant twins, and he was in the midst of his third trip to Benghazi for the Global Response Staff, making him a team member with the most experience in the city. He often teamed with Mark Ozgeist. So the Annex security team consists of five surviving CIA contract operators who responded to the September 11, 2012 attack in Benghazi. So we should have him on the line here in just a moment. I'm sure a lot of you have seen a lot of the interviews that they have done, and they I'm sure it has to be tiring for these guys to be on and to constantly being told by our authorities, shall we say, our U.S. government, that that isn't the way the story came together. So I'll be very interested to see why they decided to come forward on that, why they were there, and a couple other things I want to ask him about. So hopefully we'll have him in just a second. 13 hours sets the record straight. And we do. I do believe. We have John Teagan. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you doing this morning?
I'm very good. First off, before we go any further, I want to thank you for your service to our country, and thank you very much for bringing this story to light.
Thank you.
And I am curious, have you had the opportunity to talk to Congressman Trey Gowdy?
No, none of us have yet.
None of you have. Well, let me tell you, when you do get the opportunity, he is one of our congressmen. He's one of our favorites right here on WCRS. I think you'll be very impressed with his direct approach to things.
Yeah, we've been pretty impressed with him so far ourselves. So.
Yeah, you know, John, this has to be grueling. I've watched a lot of your interviews on TV and everything. This has to have been a grueling experience. Did you ever think that when you said you'd be on the air and go out and promote the book and everything, that there would be so much coming back and y'all would be involved, what seems to be almost on a daily basis?
Not really, but we were kind of hoping. But I'm still kind of in shock.
I would say that would be pretty overwhelming as far as that goes. But when you were, how did you end up going three times over there to Benghazi?
Well, they like to keep a continuity going in like certain, pretty much in every area. So that way, like with State Department guys, they have 30 days, they never come back. And so we'd always have guys who knew the situation on the ground, and new guys would come in, you can brief them. And so we just had a good rotation going.
Now, how long did you usually stay? This was, I think, your third trip, I read, to Benghazi. How long did you go on a rotation?
It just depends. I mean, some guys have been in certain places for 2 years, and some have been in for just a year.
But for you, where did you go for 6 months, or did you go for three?
No, I was doing 2 months at a time.
2 months at a time. Wow.
Yeah.
Did you, when you were over there in Benghazi, did you see that this situation was heating up there?
No, I mean, it was the September 11th that day. It was just like any other day. I mean, it was calm in the streets. Actually, it had gotten a little bit better because when I first got there, there was a constant gunfire, constant explosions, and it's slowly kind of tapered off, and then that trip was actually my quietest trip. So it was kind of strange, but I mean, you felt like there was something there, but it wasn't like, it was more like a criminal thing than a terrorist thing.
And I'm curious, because it says, I was reading in one of the releases that they had there, that on the day of September 11th, no American fired a weapon of any kind in defense of the mission until the CIA commandos, which I guess is you guys, reached the compound. More than 40 minutes after the attack began, the commander says the Libyan guards hired to protect the mission quickly retreated. The handful of diplomatic security agents caught by surprise and outnumbered withdrew to separate buildings without firing a shot. Why was that?
I don't know. I mean, to me, I mean, we always, ourselves, we always carried a pistol, at least the minimum of a pistol with us everywhere we went. And I just think they just had all their gear in the wrong spot, not really next to them.
But that's one of the things, and in a as far as protecting the ambassador and everything, don't we usually have Marines or something at these points?
Mainly, the Marines are usually at the embassies,
right?
Like the one the consulate and the shower. There's no Marines there.
Okay.
I mean, it just kind of varies on location.
But that was considered a hot spot, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. It was a high-threat zone.
So it would seem logical that we would have the Marines there, wouldn't it?
Not necessarily. I mean, just like going back to the Peshawar in Pakistan, I mean, that was an extremely hot zone. They didn't have Marines there, but they had a lot more diplomatic security contractors down there protecting the... not the ambassador, but the principal officer, pretty much.
Sure. And one of my other questions was, since the CIA was there, was your mission to arm or disarm, or what exactly was the CIA doing there?
To us, I mean, our mission was just to help support them and just pretty much locate and help destroy the terrorists that were actually there. And Every location, you would always try to hunt down the shoulder-fired missiles, because those are the ones that can take down airliners.
Sure.
I mean, I did that in Afghanistan, Iraq, you know, they do it all over. But as for, like, the small arm stuff, I personally have never dealt with that.
So you were there trying to make sure that they didn't have the shoulder weapons and everything to shoot down helicopter.
Yeah, the shoulder-fired missiles. I forgot exactly what they were. No replacement for them, but.
Okay, and so how much longer did y'all actually have over there before you would have been returning?
Myself and Oz had 30 more days. So we were halfway through our trip when it happened.
Yeah. Well, I would think as you look back over this, and of course, you know, there's all the conversation about you guys were ready in 5 minutes, and then you were told to stand down, and you waited in an armored vehicle to go over there. You know, you were only a mile away, and it just seems phenomenal that they would stop you. Now, exactly were you told why you shouldn't go?
We were never told exactly why not to go.
Okay, but did they think that the locals or whatever could take care of the situation?
We were assuming that while we were sitting there waiting, that he was just trying. The chief of base and the team lead were trying to make sure when we linked up with the local militia, whoever we're linking up with, wouldn't shoot at us. But I mean, that should not take 25-30 minutes, and that should be just a quick phone call, because everything was already preset anyways, from my understanding.
And so was your job supposed to be able to help in an emergency such as this situation? Was that part of your mission?
No, it was not. Our only mission was just to protect the people at the annex.
Okay. And so as you look back over this and you're watching what's unfolding in Washington, D.C., I know you're not a politician, and I know, but it has to make you feel bad when people are saying, no, it wasn't that way, no, it wasn't that way, and you're sitting there going, yes, I know that's the way it was. Did you expect to get the backlash that you're getting from all this?
we kind of expected some of it. That's one reason why I wrote the books that way. You know, it's one that's all of our stories. It's from three different, actually five different views. And I mean, that's just the way it happened that night for us on the ground.
But so you felt you were prepared then for the U.S. government to be saying no, that isn't exactly the way it happened.
Oh yeah,
you did.
Yeah, we were prepared.
Well, you know what? I sure am glad that you came forth with y'all's story. And what are you doing now, other than being on TV every day?
right now, I'm just kind of staying at home. Taking care of the twins. My wife is, doing a cake business right now, so I'm just helping her with that and taking care of the twins.
Truthfully, do you miss going out on missions and doing what you did?
Yes, we all do.
Yeah, and
it was a fun and rewarding job, even though you couldn't tell anybody about it, but it was rewarding to ourselves.
My husband actually did some work with the CIA, and he always said when they had actually called him a little later in life and said, we'd like to have you come back and do a couple of things. It never panned out. It never worked out. But I've never seen my husband so excited about going to someplace dangerous. There has to be some adrenaline there.
Yeah, it's a lot of adrenaline. I have to admit, but it's just rewarding. You're helping defend our country overseas, and you can see sometimes on a daily basis what you've done. So,
yeah, and it's I guess in some cases it's over and done when it's over and done.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true. So, what futuristically? I know. Have you been contacted by Trey Gowdy's office? Have they set up a time for you to be able to talk to them, or is it still all kind of nebulous?
Right now, we haven't heard anything from anybody. We're just kind of standing by.
Standing by. Are you looking forward to that day?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, I'll bet you are. And I know that y'all have quite a friendship that really wasn't there before you went to Benghazi, was it?
No. I mean, I've worked with Tonto and DB and Jack. I worked with Oz a little bit in Peshawar, but, we didn't really click until after this incident, and we all pretty much stay in touch definitely on a weekly basis, but myself and Oz is almost a daily basis.
Yeah, plus you're on TV all the time.
Yeah, now. Yeah.
So you are spending a lot of time together. Well, I think you did an awesome job writing this book, and we are so glad to be able to talk to you. I think that I hope that the truth actually does come out, and I think if there ever was a person that could get to the bottom of this morass that we are dealing with, that Congressman Trey Gowdy is the man for the job.
Yes, I think he's a really good fit for it.
Absolutely. Well, God bless you, and thank you again for your service to our country. Thank you for bringing forth this story, and good luck out there, and hopefully somewhere down the road we'll get to talk to you again as this whole story unfolds.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. That's why we were just talking to John Tig Tegan. Security and military consultant, hero of the Benghazi attack. And, of course, the book is 13 Hours.